Amen. Happy Father's Day. Come on, let's give all the dads out there a great big hand. Come on. Wow. In case you didn't know it, I am not Pastor John Schaefer. He's away this week with his family. And so do me a favor, don't bother him. I'm serious. Yeah, just let him get some time with Jesus and his family. Amen? Yeah, come on. And I'm just so excited to be here with you. And yes, I'm down here. I'm switching it up on you. If you need to shift a little bit so you can see me, and please do that. This is where I'm probably going to spend most of my time, right here. Yesterday, I had the joy of playing tennis and tore my calf muscle and partially tore a tendon. So I'm like, this morning, I'm like praying, and I'm literally crying this morning. I'm like, God, I got such a message in my heart for the men, and I wanted it to like come across right, and I wanted it to be like full force, and I had this picture in my mind of what it was going to look like on a stage, and I had all these things, and I'm like, hey, God, like, either A, like, if you could heal me right now, that'd be really cool. I'm trying it out, you know. And I said, God, like, why would you let this happen? And I'm like, I'm not saying, like, God let it happen or made it happen, but God just spoke to me this morning. Did you ever feel an impression from God? And he said, I just want everybody to know, to be a man of God, to be an authentic man of God, it doesn't have anything to do with the natural. It has everything to do with the spiritual. And I got a message in my heart for the men today. I got a message in my heart for men, because we live in a screwed up, messed up, jacked up society right now. That as a man, we don't know if we're allowed to hold the door or not hold the door. I don't know if I'm supposed to, you know, give a lady the umbrella if it's raining or just say too bad. I don't know. No, I'm serious. We live in a society where the people that I regularly play tennis with, they don't even know. They wanted to refer to me one day. And the male, they want to say boy or man, but they couldn't. No, literally, this just happened 2 weeks ago. And they were trying to think of a way to refer to me. And I'm like, I'm a man. I was born that way. And I'm going to be unapologetically that way. And she was rough. She was like, you're like a child. That's the best you could come up with? It hit me that most people think that males that are adult are like children. From the abundance of the heart, she spoke. But I want to tell you that when you're a man and a Christian man, we shouldn't have to apologize for that. We shouldn't have to tiptoe around it and try to make everybody feel comfortable with that. Now, I'm not saying we should be ogres, dominant. And I'm going to define all these things for you today. As a matter of fact, some of you aren't going to like the message today. There's a couple people. As a matter of fact, it's Father's Day, and I'm a spiritual father to this house. So this is my Father's Day gift. I'm going to take as long as I want today. I'm like trying to cut things out, and I just said, you know, it's Father's Day. I get to decide what we eat. I get to decide when we eat and how long it takes. And yeah, I'm humbled by being up here, and I went away, and my wife drove me to church today. That was emasculating. But I did a very good job of reminding her when everybody was breaking in front of us. Whenever there's somebody break, I said, they're stopping, they're slowing down. And then I was telling her, I was saying, you know, the 25 years ago, it's been 25 years that I've been the lead pastor here. And I said, you know, the 25 years ago me would have crawled up on stage to preach. I would have crawled up there. And my wife looks at me in the car and she goes, yes, you were so unhumble. She goes, you were so unhumble. And I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I come to you in much humility today, but I want to speak to men. And ladies, I'm speaking to you today too. You know, in 2 weeks, we're gonna have a family day, a family worship service. It's going to be very junior and senior high level. And many of you are like, I don't have kids. I don't want to be a part of that. You need to be here. You know why? Because there's a generation that's worth fighting for. And let me just start off with saying this, that I believe that there's a generation of young people. When I say young adults, young people, we created this. I'm going to start preaching 2 weeks' message. I believe that there's a generation that's going to rise up and lead Jesus' church like never before. I believe that. And they're a generation worth fighting for. Let's not write them off. Let's say, what do I need to do to be the example? Oh, I don't have kids. Well, they're still watching. If you don't have kids, you should have more time. Just a thought. No, I'm serious. There's a generation that I believe, because there's swings. If you look at church history, there's swings that have happened where there's been great revival, and then there's great absence. And we're in that season where there's great absence and everybody's deconstructing their faith and deconverting and de-churching. But that's not going to define the next generation. But we're going to have to do something about this. And so we're going to share, what do we believe? Because we're in that series of what do we believe. We're going to share about what do we believe about teenagers. Biblically. Not according to the world standard, not according to what Hollywood says, not according to what the popular songs say, but no, what do we really believe? And we're going to challenge all of us on what we really believe and what we're going to do about it. How many of you are in? So here's the big idea today. Men will live out authentic manhood by being devoted to God, moved with godly fear, and committed to their household. And I know some of you are saying, my household, I don't have kids, or maybe I'm a household of one. Well, then it shouldn't be hard to be committed. Right? Right? Am I right? You just got to look in the mirror every now and then and say, stay committed. You with me? So we're going to talk today about Noah. Noah was a man in the Old Testament. If you Google Noah, the first thing that comes up is a story about how this is a myth. It's not a real story. So what do we believe? Do we believe the Word of God? Do we believe it's still active? Do we believe that? Or is it this just a myth, a story about the archy-archy? So Noah was a man. I'm going to uncover his life leading up to some things here. And he built an ark, and he put animals in the ark. Right? Cows and pigs and turkeys and all these things. And then he and his family were protected. And then God gave us the rainbow to remind us of a covenant. Now, first of all, I want to thank Noah. Because without him, we would not have barbecue ribs, steak, chicken, turkey. You'd all be eating fish all the time. That's what you'd be doing. You'd have nothing but fish. Some of you will get that later. But I want to talk about his life today. And I want to speak to the men, and I want to call you to a higher standard, because I'm here to tell you today that something's wrong. I'm not saying something's wrong in our culture, in our society. Anybody can figure that out. You don't even need to be a Christian to know that. But something's wrong in Jesus' church. No, I'm telling you, something's wrong at Bridge City Church that we're going to see a change in. What I've noticed is this. I've noticed that we have more ladies stepping up in leadership and less men. Now, some ladies will say, what's wrong with that? A lady can do it. I didn't say you can't do it. Never said that. What I'm saying is where are the men that are stepping up? I think we as a church, Bridge City Church, I'm not talking about the big universal church. I'm here to speak to you today. Everybody in this room, that's who I'm talking to. Okay? Don't think for a second I'm speaking metaphorically about other people. I'm here to talk to you today. I see some signs even in our church that are not good. I see a lot more count the cost and a lot less paying the price. You have food distribution at our church. And if I told you right now, I said, 150 families got food last week, what would you typically do? Am I right or wrong? How many of you say, yeah? That's my church. No, that's your church, but that's not you. Why do I see the baby boomer men doing all the heavy lifting when I'm looking around the auditorium right now and I see young men in this room? No, I'm asking a serious question. Where are the young men? Where are the men that our culture and our society is begging to see? I see work that needs to be done outside. Well, somebody, when they get retired, they ought to do that. I'll retire you. No, I'm asking serious questions. Where are the men? Where are the men that say this shouldn't be? Where are the men that are going to say, count me in, I want to do something about it. I don't just want to complain about it. But what I really feel is this, is that, and I'm speaking as an average man right now, is we feel like we can't do anything about it because we're so impoverished in most other areas of our lives. We feel like we can't do it, and I want to empower you today. I know this is a long intro, and I'm going to get to the Word of God, and we're going to learn about Noah, and we're going to step forward, but I want to give you the framework for why I'm saying it. I didn't come here today to give you a nice little teaching and give you a holy cannoli and send you home. Well, let's punch my card, Pastor. Make sure God in heaven knows I'm here. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, divinely being warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Say, moved with godly fear. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. I am just going to refer back to this verse over and over and over again. It has our big idea. Men of God will live authentic manhood, and it's okay to have authentic manhood. We have this thing in our mind anytime that manhood is said, oh, it's toxic. There's toxic manhood. No, toxic is in people's brains. I'm going to define it for you guys in a little bit here. But it's being divinely warned of things to come. It's being moved with godly fear. It's in this verse. And it's saving, it's saying committed to our households. if we do these things, we will condemn the world and stand up for the righteousness that is of God. So I want to help you how to do this. Are you ready to how to do this? Are you ready? Are you really ready? Are you sure you're ready? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he ever made them and put them on the earth, and it broke his heart. Can you imagine how bad it was compared to what we're experiencing today? Think about that. How bad was it? We live in a postmodern, post-Christian world. That really means we live in an anti-Christian world, in an anti-man world. No coincidence that we have both of those tied together. Because if you can take away the image of a man, you can take away the image of God. And then we're free to create God in our own image. How bad was it? So verse 7, Genesis 6, and the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I've created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I'm sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor. But Tyler, but Gene, but Johnny, but Carl, but Ben, but Kip. God's looking for some men that he can put some favor on. Are you catching this? I'm in a room of men and women, for that matter, that are world changers. Oh, we can't change the whole world, but how about we change our little bit of it? Is that good? But he found favor in the sight of the Lord. God's looking for people he can find favor. Favor is kindness, grace, affectionate regard to act graciously or mercifully towards somebody. Grace empowers us. This is it. He had a devotion to God. In where you work and where you live and what you do, can people say, yeah, everybody there's evil? But then God found you. God found you. God's looking for somebody that he can put favor and grace on. He's looking for men and women, for that matter. But he's looking for men right now that'll stand up and be counted. And I believe I'm in a room full of those men. Do you believe it this morning? I believe that with all my heart. So here we have our first one. He was devoted to God. He was divinely warned. Hebrews 11:7, he was divinely warned of things to come. He was devoted to God. Devoted. Authentic manhood is I'm devoted to God. Genesis 6, verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at that time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. What will it be like at the end of our days when somebody writes, this is the account of you? What, this is the account of your life? Oh, everybody is going to give an account, but here on earth, the end of your day is when somebody gives an account of your life. What's it going to say after that? They were nice. They were pleasant. Noah was a righteous man. Righteous. He was the only blameless person. Does that mean he was without sin? No. But it means he knew how to deal with his sin. Righteous. He had right standing with God in conduct and character. He was blameless. He was sound, undefiled, and whole. And he walked in close proximity to God. And I want to tell you today that on generations, there's a lot of curses being spoken on generations right now. Oh, there are. See, in Noah's generation, he could have been said, oh, he's just like everybody else, evil, lying, blasphemy, every evil, discontent and every evil intent. But no, what was said of him was he was righteous. And I want to tell you today that there's people in different generations, millennials and Gen X and Gen Y, that there's things being spoken of you on your generation. That does not have to define you. I think we need to go back and allow God to define us. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to define us. Oh, all millennials are this way. No. No. Are you more millennial or are you more Jesus? All baby boomers are this way. No. I got to make the choice. Am I going to be more Christian and more follower of God, or am I going to follow society and culture and what the generation tells me? Stop allowing the generational curses to define you. We got to stop it. We got to say, that's not right. That doesn't define me. I know how to walk in integrity. I know how to walk in character. I can do this. Noah walked with God. So listen, you got to shed the curses of the generation that's on you. Well, I just grew up in a negative household, so I got to be negative. I don't know about you. We sang a song this morning about being born again. I came to life. Right? We sing it. Why don't we just believe it? No, I'm serious. I know I'm coming across a little coarse here, but I'm coming to you as a father today. It's Father's Day. I'm coming to you the way it needs to be said today. Noah walked with God. His goal was not popularity or to have the biggest yacht in the harbor. His goal was to please and honor God. He had integrity. And let me tell you what integrity is. Integrity is the inside job. It's who you are on the inside. Character is who you are on the outside. So we need men of integrity on the inside and character on the outside. And we need some men who are saying, I'm willing to walk with God, even when it hurts and it's painful. You know the biggest compliment I've ever received in my life? The biggest compliment I've ever received in my whole life, it had nothing to do with preaching good or being a pastor. It came from Natalie and my children. All of them had said the same thing. They said, you're the same person whether you're at home or at work or at church or doing sports. You're the same person. That's the biggest compliment. I never want to have two different faces, one for home, one for church. Put my church face on. Put my home face on. I don't have time for that. I don't got time for that. It's time we just go back to saying, I want some integrity and character. I want to step up. This is what I'm going to do here. Noah walked with God when nobody else did, and all comparisons have to go. You can walk with God. Well, it's hard. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Eight times in Genesis 6 through 9, it states, the Lord said. The Lord said. The Lord said. The Lord said. Men, I know she may be a better multitasker. She may remember things you can't. She may be better to organize and administrate. She may be better at all those things. But I'm here to tell you, you're free to stand up and say, but the Lord said. And you need to know the difference between a preference and a whiny man than when he says, the Lord said. The Lord said. Not I feel, not I think, not it's raining outside, we're going to stay home today. No, the Lord said. You're free to hear God. And men, you can hear God. We've bought into why I can't because you know your shortcomings. Do you know what the hardest thing for me on the planet is to do? The most difficult thing on the planet, I'm going to be real honest with you, is to pray with this woman right here. And I'm saying that in all respect, because she knows my shortcomings. She knows my faults. She knows the real me. But when she believes in me and she tells me I can do it, I become Superman. And there's been a few times in our life that I had to say the Lord said. And I'm just so thankful for a woman of God that when the Lord said, it settled it. Not, again, the Lord said, test it. Go to the Word of God. And when God said, it was a done deal. Do we have a the Lord said in our hearts and our lives, men? Women, that's what changes us. The Lord said. We're so afraid to say God said when it's clearly some things. Noah was divinely warned of things unseen. He was devoted. Now, I'm not going to give you six things to do to devote your life to God. You know what? I'm going to respect you as a man and say, I believe you know what they are. Being blameless and upright, you know, being upright with God. Being with other men. I'm going to get to some details later, but I'm going to trust you. No, I'm not going to give you six. If you do these eight things, you'll stay devoted to God. For those of you that have a job and you've been working that job for an extended period of time, just apply the same principles there that you do to God and you'll be fine. Noah moved with godly fear. Hebrews 11:7. It says he was divinely warned. He was devoted. And he moved with godly fear. He moved with godly fear. So every time it says those eight times, the Lord said, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, so Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. It doesn't say he listened. It doesn't say he thought about. It said he, what'd he do? He did it. See, when God says to do this, that's all we do. Right? I purposed in my heart yesterday. If the elders of the church and if my wife, everybody says, hey, you can't preach tomorrow because your injury, then it was a done deal. I was going to submit. I did. I just said, that's good. Now, they were good. I needed to make some changes. I made the changes. I'm good. It's called Thou Shalt Not Be Stupid. It took me a while, but I got it. I'm a slow learner. How many of y'all are slow learners? Yeah. Now, check this out. Noah built a boat. 2.5 football fields long. 4 stories high. And it took him 120 years to build this boat. How many trips to Home Depot did he make? Now, remind you, in order for him to go to Home Depot, he had to build Home Depot. No, I want you to check this out. What Noah had to do was he it's not like he placed an order. He didn't go online. And order something. He had to go make a saw. He had to go make a saw. Make an axe. Make a way to go find trees. There were no trees where he was. And then find a way to bring the trees back. And you think changing a faucet's tough. No, I'm serious. Think about this. 120 years he did this. Now, men, I want to tell you that the little things you do every day that feel meaningless, they matter. The little things we do matter. The getting up and going to work, it matters. The getting up and having integrity and character, not taking advantage of your workplace in any way, it matters. To Noah, the little things mattered. He moved with godly fear.
The fear of God makes the impossible possible. Genesis 6:14. He even had to get instructions. Some of y'all need to write that down. So God said, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. This gopher wood. You know why it's called gopher wood? Hey, Shem, Ham, Japheth, it's time to gopher wood. That's my dad joke of the day. Come on, somebody. I've been waiting all day for that. No, there were specific things God told him to do. It was very clear. Do it this way. But I want to tell you what this word pitch is. And I want to speak to you today. He said, when you build this ark, you're going to cover it. Most translations say tar. That's what it says, tar. But the real word is pitch. And it's like, what's pitch? Let me tell you what it is. It's the same word in the Old Testament used for atonement. Atonement is a fancy word to mean about the blood of Christ. It's how we get reconciled to God. The blood of Jesus provides atonement for our lives. That's what atonement is. It cleanses, it purifies, it purges. And I'm here to tell you today that our households need to be moved with godly fear, and we need to cover them with the blood of Jesus. Because if you don't, the curses and the destruction of the world is going to come seeping into your house. And the reason we have homes that are seeping and leaking the world into it is because we have not covered them with the blood of Jesus Christ. So how do you do this? You're going to say, I'm going to move with godly fear. I'm going to take the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to pray that my household is going to be safe. And I'm going to cover my household with the blood. I'm going to cover us with godly fear. Oh, what's godly fear? Glad you ask. It's to love what God loves. It's to hate what he hates. And it's to live your life like you're going to give an account before God. And what the world needs right now is men and women, for that matter, that are going to stand up and say, I'm going to love what God loves. I'm going to hate what he hates. But I'm going to live my life like I'm going to give an account before God. That'll change you. And we have things coming into each and every one of our households. And I'm telling you, we got to go back to our households and stop this stuff from coming in. There's stuff that's coming in. There's stuff that's leaking into every one of our lives. We got to go back and put some pitch on it. In just a little bit here, we're going to go back. And in a little while here, we're going to worship Jesus. Whenever I'm done, whenever that may be. And we're going to put some blood of Jesus on our lives again and say, you know what, we're going to be godly men in this house. The fear of God, loving what he loves and hating what he hates. The more serious you are with God, the more you're going to stand out. I just wonder, 120 years. How many times, if Noah was a real man, which I believe he was, how many times did he say, what's the use? How many times did he say, why bother? How many times did he say, if I have to cut one more tree down? How many times did he have to remind Shem, Ham, and Japheth to pick up his tools? Now think about this, 120 years. But he moved with godly fear. Godly fear will keep you doing what you need to do. So men, I want to tell you, you're sitting out here, and every man faces this. Every married man faces this. Every family man faces this. They get to a point and they say, why bother? Why go home? Why stay in this job? Why keep giving? Why doing this? I'm going to tell you why. Because we're playing for an audience of one, God, my Father in heaven. And we're going to stand up because I have godly fear on my life. Integrity and character. Why give? Why keep putting 10%? Why keep giving 10% tithing and then giving on top of that? Why bother? What's the use? Because it's all God's. And that reminds me, every time I put money, whether it's online or text to give, no matter, every time you give money, what you're saying is my God in heaven has a lot more where that came from. I'm going to be moved with godly fear because it's God's money, not mine. And when it's God's money, it changes your perspective. See, you think it's your money. It's not. It's God's. Come on. It moves us. God, what have you asked of me? What do you want of me? How do I do this? Godly fear, and what we need is men to rise up and say, God, restore godly fear. So before we pray, and we're supposed to pray for our president, we're supposed to pray for our land, whether you like it or not, we need to say, God, restore my godly fear. Before we start shouting at Washington and Hollywood and all the songs that are coming out that are disgraceful and belittling of women. Christianity is the one religion that defends and protects women. No, I'm telling you, you got to get this. It's a bizarre thought, but it does. And when men take their proper space with godly fear, women are blessed. They are fruitful. They are loved. They become everything God wants them to be. But there's this narrative. I hear it all the time. Well, you know, that you go to Christianity, women are belittled. Have you read the Bible? No, have you? No, I'm serious. And when men, not dictators, not belittlers, not oafs either, take their proper place, any real woman of God would want to be involved in a place like that because there's protection. And men, you're supposed to take all the burden and she's supposed to get all the blessing. Yeah, the burden, you're supposed to take it. How many of y'all happy you came to church today? I got one more point. I'm gonna keep going here. This is the one I've been waiting for. Authentic men stay committed to their household. And I'm even going to use this, committed to the household of God. Because many of us, my wife and I, our five kids, they're all grown up, they're all at the house. But we're still a part of the household of God. My wife, she regularly teaches kids ministry. The kids love her. Some of the kids won't go to kids ministry sometimes because if she's not there, I have to remind them that she's my wife. She doesn't do that, oh, nobody will do it. No, because it's in her heart to do. Why wouldn't you want to invest in a generation? So she teaches the little kids. I teach the big kids. Some of you will get that. But we got to define success. See, if you don't define success, the world will define success for you. Retirement, the home, the yacht, the car, the money, the prestige, the rule, the job. Am I right? How about success isn't what the reward, but success is when you plant seeds. When you plant seeds in a generation that will bear fruit in the future, that's a success. And many people are waiting for their reward, waiting for their ship to come in, waiting for the lottery to hit. Rather than getting to work and say, I'm going to be a success, I'm going to plant some seeds in my life. No, I'm serious. Like, how about we just plant seeds? That's what a success is. You're a result of everything you did the last year. So if you want to be some kind of reward next year, write down what you want and start sowing into that reward. I'm not talking about financially. I'm just talking about in life. I want to free you today. I want to speak to your hearts today. But we got to stay committed. I'm waiting to catch a break. Well, you got up this morning. There's your break. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. No, I'm serious. Everybody said, I'm waiting for a break. I can't catch a break. Can't catch a break at work. Can't catch a break with my wife. Can't catch a break with the kids. You're breathing. There's your break. God allows you to live another day. There's your break. It's what you've been waiting for. Oh, I don't think you understand. I need a bigger break. Then go out and get yourself a Kit Kat bar or something. I don't know. Get yourself something, but get yourself something. Take a break and get out. Is that what you do? Take a break with Kit. Is it Kit Kat? That just came out. I don't know where that came from. That just like popped into my head. Yeah. They used to be my favorite candy bar. They're not. But let me tell you this. Noah, there's no way that Noah could do this without his family. And there's no way that you can do it without your kids. And there's no way that our church will do it without our church family. There's no way we're going to do this thing that God has asked us to do without the next generation involved. And we got to be willing to do what's unpopular so we can really achieve what God wants us to do. Real men aren't afraid to do what's unpopular. Aren't afraid to look foolish to obey God. Like, this is Noah. Because you see Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they're like, how come all the other kids get to play? And we got to go cut trees. Let me be Noah for a second, okay? In this house, we build arks. I want that to sink in. No, in this house, this is how we do it. Okay, this is how we do it. I don't know what your friends are doing down the street on those video games. I don't know. They stay up all night doing video games. They all got iPhones. In this house, we don't have time for iPhones. We're too busy going to food distribution. That's what we're going to do. That's what we do. Other kids get to sleep in Saturdays. No, we go feed people. No, is this helping you? No, I'm serious. I'm being honest. Could you imagine? And typically Noah would have probably taken two of his sons, and one would have stayed with the women. That would have been typical in that time. I don't have proof of that, but that's typical. So two of his sons would have to say, okay, let's go get trees. They were a part of it. So as a household, that's why we all are a part of this household. We're building something here. Let me give some parents help here. Your kids are not your friends. Your kids are not your friends. Stop trying to get them to like you. From like 10 to like 20-something, they're not going to like you. Stop trying to get them to like you. Eventually, they're going to come back and say, you know, you're not as dumb as I thought you were. I was just like, right? No, I'm serious. Now, picture this. The rain starts coming. Noah builds an ark, and he says to his kids, hey, it's going to rain. It's raining. We got to get in the ark. And the kids are like, oh, I don't know. And just think if Noah would have looked at them and says, well, you need to find your own way. You need to find your own way. You just do what you feel right. Everybody's going to find their own way to God. I don't want to make you do anything you don't want to do. I don't want to make you go to church because, you know, you got to find your own way. Could you imagine him doing that? No, seriously. In this house, we get on the ark. That's what we do. Now, I know some of you said, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, when your kids live in your house and they live in a room you paid for and they're eating food that you paid for and they're wearing clothes that you paid for and they're using electricity that you pay for, I think you get to decide where they go. Is this good or what? No, I mean, really, I'm trying to help you. I'm not saying you have to be mean. Well, I don't want the argument. There's no argument. I never argued with my kids. Gene, you didn't argue with your kids. Just, this is what we do. When you're old enough to live in your own home, wear your own clothes, pay for your own food, pay for your electricity, you're going to make the decision you want to make. I'm good. And I'm going to sleep really good tonight. No, I'm being honest with you. I'm watching a generation be so ruled by their kids. I've seen grown men afraid of their five-year-old. Afraid their teenage, like their teenagers won't do this or won't. Again, I'm talking about love. I'm not talking about screaming. I'm not talking about being an ogre. I'm talking about just knowing who you are. We in this house are devoted to God. We have the fear of God. We're going to stay committed. And if we want to be men of God, we're going to have to stay committed in marriage. And when you feel like getting out, you need to get back in. I thank God for the men in my life. That the moments, my weakest, most horrible moments in my life, when I called them, they said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go home. You don't think I go through that? They said, no, you're going to go home. And then I'm going to follow up. I'm going to drive by your home in a little bit, and your car better be there. And they did. I looked outside and said, they did it. No, this is God's honest truth. And they got me healed up and got me secure and got me knowing who I am. But that took men of God. In this house, at Bridge City Church, this is how we do it. Men defend and protect one another. This is how we do it. We don't yell. We don't put down. We help one another achieve. Because there's going to come a day where you're building an ark and I'm going to need to come help. There's going to come a day I need help and you're going to come help me. There's a generation at stake. There's God's name at stake. When you decide you're going to build an ark, things are going to get worse before they get better. I'm telling you this, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they all got married. Those women, they didn't marry into money. They married into covenant. I told my kids a long time ago, you're looking for an inheritance. You're in the wrong family. But I'm going to tell you, when you're part of this, we're covenant. It's a word we don't like to use. But that's why people say, well, why do you have membership? There's no such thing as membership in the Bible. I don't want to be a member. I'm going to tell you why. There's a word called covenant. So at Bridge City Church, it's just the way we do it. We do covenant. That means we are going to covenant. We're going to do our part. You're going to do your part before God. He's the third party. And there's going to be a third party blessing. The third party blessing is the world. So that when we live covenant, the world's blessed. And people who don't want to live covenant, it's because they want their blessing. They want to run. Let's live covenant. Y'all with me? Is that clear now? Is that good? Let me speak about Mrs. Noah. The Bible's surprisingly quiet about her. But I do know this. There is no way Noah would have did what he did and completed what he completed without a godly woman behind him. I thought more ladies would get excited about that. I don't know. I was like, I put pause for ladies to applause, and I didn't. It kind of didn't work. I said, pause. Pause right here. Pause. No, I'm serious. I believe this is what I believe. And now again, I don't have proof text. I can't read you. But 120 years doing something while the world laughs at you, makes fun of you. There's no way he did that without a godly woman giving him affirmation and encouragement and speaking life to him. That's what godly women do. And some of the ladies in this house, I'm going to speak to the over 50 crowd, the over 60 crowd, that you maybe your kids are grown and maybe you're more in grandma stage than you are mom stage. Well, I want you to start speaking to the young men with dignity and honor. Don't berate them. Don't put them down. Go outside and stand by that door until a young man comes. Thank you. No, I'm serious. Why don't you can speak when wires aren't crossed. You can be that the godly mom, the godly grandma maybe they don't have to speak life to them. Not put them down. Not kids these days and kids make a mess and kids this and kids that. Youth this, youth that. Who wants that? Ladies, you can speak life to him. You're gonna get what you speak to. You speak to him like an old nag, you're going to get yourself an old donkey. You speak to him like a stallion, oh, come on, somebody. No, you're getting what you're speaking to. Well, he doesn't remember anything. He can't remember. He doesn't remember. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Stop speaking to that. Stop being the old nag and stop speaking life. He's getting beat up in every area of his life. I don't have what it takes. They won't receive me. I'm trying my best. I'm doing what I can. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. It won't work. It doesn't work. My arc isn't big enough. That I don't have enough pitch. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough. Am I speaking guy language today? Come on, guys. And when a woman speaks to you redemptively and humbly and lovingly, I'm telling you, you can leap tall buildings in a single bound. That's what it takes. And when we have, and ladies, I want to ask you a question today. Where did you get your image of a man? Did you get it from hurt? Did you get it from a father who abandoned you and from a man who took advantage of you? Or did you get it from the Word of God? Did you go to church and say, there got to be godly men here? And I want to tell you the history of this church is that we've had a history of strong men who have stayed committed. And so I'm speaking to the young men right now. Maybe you've come here in the last 5 years, 6 years, 8 years. I'm speaking to your heart right now. And I'm saying it's time to look at the men before you. And it's time to say, I can stay committed because they stayed committed. That's what I'm going to do. We got to put aside our shame, blame, and pain and hurt and say, I'm going to live this godly life. I'm going to be devoted to God. I'm going to be moved with godly fear, and I'm going to stay committed to the household. First, my household at home, and I'm going to stay committed to the household of God. 2 Peter 2:5, I'm not going to get into it, but basically Noah was this. He chopped trees down by day. He was a preacher by night. He had one message, 4 words, it's going to rain. And, well, if you're in Pittsburgh, it was 3 words. It's going to rain. Kind of 2 words. It's going to rain. Maybe 1 word before we're done. That's all. See, guys, listen to me. You may chop trees by day. You may be an accountant. You may be an engineer. You may be this. You may be a butcher, baker, candlestick maker. But at night, listen, we're a speaker of righteousness. For the salvation of our family. Authentic men do what's best, not convenient. They take blame, even sometimes when they're not to blame. I was standing with a couple this week, and she said something to him. And he goes, no, that's not true. And she goes, yes, it is. And she went on. I said, look, man, is it worth arguing over? I really did. I said, is it really worth arguing over? He goes, no. And I says, just say, I'm going to try not to do that anymore. And he did that. And I said, it kind of works, huh? Now, I'm not saying you got to become a doormat. But just you're the first to go. You're the first to lead. You're the first to step out. See, men are the backbone of the church. I've always said this, men are the backbone. And today you're getting a chiropractic adjustment. Can you feel it? Y'all men feel it? You're going to feel better. When you leave, it's going to feel better. But you got to go through that moment. Because the rest of the body is going to get in alignment when the men are in alignment. Faith requires risk. No man, listen to me, the worship team's coming up. Don't be getting all fixated. All good. We're landing the plane. I told you, I'm going to go till I'm done today. I'm being honest with you. I'm not going to do this every week. Don't worry. But this is what we're going to do today. No man, no real man wants to be considered safe. We were created for risk. We were created for adventure. We were created for conquer. Am I right or wrong, men? But somehow we start playing it safe. We start not taking risk. We start, ugh. Let me tell you my big risk. On August 4th, we're going to have an outdoor worship experience downtown Pittsburgh at Highmark Stadium. Right now, we have 10 churches committed to come. 10. And this costs a lot of money. God just put on my heart, what would it look like? What would it look like if my goal is 12? I'm still believing somehow we're going to hit 12. What would it look like if 12 churches said, I'm not going to do what I want on Sunday morning. I'm going to do what we're going to do. I think there'd be no greater act of unity. That's just my personal opinion. And so I dared to start going asking. I've been asking church after church after church, would you consider coming to this? It's not going to be Bridge City thing. It's going to be Austin's thing. And people came to me and they keep asking. We're spending a lot of money on this. Well, what if we don't have enough money? What if we can't afford it? What if it rains? This is what people keep asking. What are we going to do if it rains? I said, we're going to get wet. That's my answer. No, I'm serious. We're going to go worship Jesus. And we're going to do baptisms. And we're going to join arms with 9 other churches. We're going to worship Jesus together. Believe in God for well over 2,000 people. That's what we're believing God for. What's the goal? That we put aside our own agenda for a greater agenda. We're going to do that as a church, just like you're doing that as a person. And my big thing is, well, what if it rains? How about Noah, 120 years? What if it doesn't rain? No, think about it. What if Noah's like, dude, I just did all this for God and it didn't rain? That's the fear. There's fear holding men back. There's fear gripping your soul. You don't want to take the risk because what if it doesn't work? If I give 10% of my income, if I say, God, I'm going to call you at your word, there's a promise of God. I'm not going to curse myself and keep my 10%. I'm going to give it and then some. What if God doesn't bless me? What if you don't do it and you never find out what he can do? What if I pray for somebody and they don't get healed? I don't know. What if you pray for them and they do get healed? What if I ask my wife to pray and she just laughs at me and she says, I ain't praying with you. I don't know. What if you don't ask her and you never get the chance for her to laugh? I don't know. See, we're playing it safe. What risk can you afford not to take? What risk can you afford not to take? Most of the men in this room, you are one conversation away from a major breakthrough. And that conversation is with another man of God, eyeball to eyeball, that you can get input from. You can receive godly fear. You can receive devotion. You can receive staying committed to your household, becoming the man of God that he's created you to be. I took a step out a couple years ago, and I said, I know what God's called me to the rest of my life. I'm going to help marriages and families. What do you think got attacked the most in my life over the next couple years? My marriage and family. I could look for it as, that's a conflict. I'm having conflict. That's blocking my blessing. Or I could look at it as it's building my blessing. It's building a story for God. It's a story about God. It's a story about who He is. And every man wants that story. But are we going to stay committed to this? We got to stop playing it safe. We got to stop saying, God, I just want to get by. God, I just want to hold on. Am I speaking to men today? Is every man in this room, is your heart pounding saying, I want to be a part of this? And if you want to be a part of it, then listen, there's projects around this place. Nobody ever called me. I just called you. I didn't know they needed help in the food distribution. I just told you. I'm serious. It breaks my heart to see the men that are doing it by themselves. It does. It breaks my heart. We got to change this. Are you hearing my heart today? I'm saying to Bridge City Church, we're going back to having a place where there's authentic biblical manhood, where we're standing up for what's right and we're going to do what's right. And yes, I know I took a lot of time today, and you know what? I ain't going to apologize about it. Men, I'm asking you to stand up right now. If you're a man in this room, I'm just asking you to stand up. I want to speak something to you. Then we're going to worship Jesus. How many of y'all heard God today? How many of y'all heard God? I want to speak to every man right now, and I say this. The reason I'm talking this way to you today is because I believe in you. If I didn't believe in you, I wouldn't talk this way. If I didn't think you could rise to the occasion, I wouldn't talk this way. I believe in you. I want to tell you to look around, and there's other men standing right now. You're not alone. There's men in this room right now. You feel alone, and you feel like if you confessed your sin right now to somebody, they would laugh at you and scoff at you. And I want to tell you that there's men in this room right now that they would uphold, and they would help you, and they would support you, and they would pray with you, and they would do everything they could for you. And I want to tell you that what God has given us to do, it can and it will be done. That's what I'm here to tell you today. And I believe I'm in the presence of godly men. The worship team's going to lead us in a song called Gratitude. Something special. And ladies, help me out with this. And I mean this. Help me out. When real men stand up and worship God, doesn't it just do something to the environment? Am I right? When godly men are humble. So I'm inviting all the men down front. Like, hey, you know what? I'm good. But I want you to come down front and stand right down here with me. Now, ladies, I want us all to stand. I'm just inviting you down front. That's all. Men first. And Nate and the worship team will lead us in a song. And when it says, you're going to sing that song where it says lift up our hands, right? When it comes time to lift up our hands, we all going to lift up our hands in Jesus' name. Okay, we're not going to sing something we don't do. So let's all stand to our feet and worship. And ladies, if you want to come forward and fill in, please do so. You're invited to. Just come and stand behind your man. Let him know that you stand with him and for him. You lead us, we're following.